just step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 535. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined once again by my fabulous co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Remember, everybody, we stream this live at koop.org. Do not go away.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up.
Johnny Booth was a handsome devil, got up in his rings and fancy silks, had him a temper.
It is Wednesday, September 25th, 2019. On the show today, we have St. Edward's University and their show, A Flea in Her Ear. And later on, we'll be talking to Shrewd Productions' show, Jump. And of course, we will be bumping into things and have lively conversations about the world of theater in New York, Austin, San Francisco, and points north. We will be right back.
Died in a barn in pain and bitter, 27 years of age.
Oh, boy. Okay, it's going to be one of those days,
Ouch,
huh?
Like it's one of those days.
It's one of those days. Nicole Shiro, hello.
Hello.
Checking in with you.
Hello. I'm all peacey.
You're all peacey?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, right. You peace date. How was the peace date?
I peace date. The 11 days of global unity were pretty good. And,
on the first day of global unity, my true love gave to me
a peace
Trump pie? Bean.
I was going with the
okay, well,
pie,
yeah, never mind. You know, yeah. The opinions expressed here on Offstage and On the Air are not those of the staff or board of co-op, but merely my own. Yeah, so peace day went well.
Yes, Peace Day went well.
Okay, once again, for however many years this has been going on, I just want to let you know that my feelings were not hurt that you did not ask me to read a poem. Poems for Peace.
You were out of town.
Because here's the poem I would give you. Here's the poem. Ready?
I'm ready.
Mary had a little lamb. Mm-hmm. Its fleece was white as snow.
Yes.
And everywhere that Mary went, she took a bus.
Oh.
Okay, that's it. Let's introduce the folks that are here with us. The incomparable Mr. Robert Tolero.
Hello, good people.
How are you? We have Trey Deason.
Hello.
We have Michael Trejo.
Hey, how's it going?
Who I didn't know until just a few moments ago that you've never been on my show.
Never. This is the first time in a long time.
I still don't believe him on
it. Seems crazy.
I've never been on the show.
I've
always wanted to be on the show.
Well, there you go, and now you are.
I felt snubbed. I had to say that.
You were not.
Okay.
Patrick Byers.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome. So that little piece of music that we finally got around to playing
was some good stuff.
Was some NPH. We were talking about NPH prior to going on the air with regards to Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Oh yes. And the Shroud.
And the Shroud of Turin. And then we just we heard his voice in the production of Assassins. That
a
he
revival
was in.
Production.
A revival indeed. And there's going to be another revival.
Indeed.
With some very interesting cast members.
Yes, they added this Stephen Pasquale today.
Stephen Pasquale today.
I believe he's the John Wilkes Booth, if I remember correctly.
You could be right. As soon as I find my little cheat sheet of the there it is, American Son, Stephen Pasquale. Is it Pasquale or Pasquale? I thought it was Pasquale.
I mean, I guess you could say either or.
Yes. So he is indeed, what did I say? It doesn't say who's, of course it does. It's in here somewhere. But anyway, this is the classic stage is doing it. He is playing Booth and, Judy Kuhn of Fun Home is
way. I like Judy Kuhn.
Yeah, we do as well. I like the female roles in this. And,
I love this.
She plays Sarah Jane Moore.
But I love it.
Will Simpson is playing Ghetto. Brandon Uranowitz is playing the guy I can't pronounce, the Eastern
Polish
European guy.
Yeah.
And Wesley Taylor is playing Giuseppe Zangara.
I saw you had the Italian hands going.
I did. I did Italian hands.
Being part Italian, I understand.
The director The director is Mr. John Doyle.
Yes.
Who here's a lover or hater of Assassins?
I'm a lover.
I like it.
It was like kind of the musical when I was at, ironically, when I was at St. Ed's, everybody was like, oh my God, this show, this squeaky.
Yeah, I don't see Assassins being done at St. Ed's anytime in the near future.
No, but they did it locally back in the 90s.
They did. I saw it. I forgot the name of the production company. They did one show a year. They did it at the Carver.
Yep.
It was actually good production. I enjoyed it.
Cool.
I went with you.
Maybe.
For sure.
I'm just going to say maybe. How's that?
It might have happened.
So who saw the Emmys?
No.
I was busy rehearsing.
Yeah.
Feverishly.
I saw bits and pieces of the Emmys. Lots of people. We had some Broadway folks. Oddly enough, I did not print it out, and my memory isn't what it is. But there were some notable things.
Who didn't get one that should have gotten one was Mr. Sammy Rockwell. But we'll talk about that another time.
His co-star did.
Yes,
Michelle Williams, and she had a wonderful speech where she talked about they talked about financial parity for women and men, but more important, she talked about what it felt like to be listened to as a performer, as a woman. So often women are disregarded. And she went through a list of things that she asked.
Tools that she needed.
That she needed. And the producer said yes to everything. And she said that just doesn't happen very often.
Billy Porter. Good old Billy.
And I don't know if you didn't see it, but if you saw what he was wearing, his outfit was amazing.
I would have been really PO'd if I was sitting behind him.
What everybody says.
That was not cool.
I'm going to say this. I'm guessing when he was seated in the audience, I'm going to bet he took it off.
Every time they flashed over the audience, it was hard to miss the giant hat
in a triangle
sideways. I would have not been a happy camper, and I would have been like, sorry, Mr. Porter, I know who you are, but remove the hat.
Marketing. But he was
marketing.
Yeah, he was gorgeous. I just wanted a slice of that.
Yeah, I agree with you on that.
Tony Shalhoub won.
That's so awesome.
Yeah,
Tony Shalhoub is so amazing.
That was his third. I think he's close to EGOT.
He should win everything. It's Tony Shalhoub.
His fourth Emmy.
Yeah, amazing.
Did you guys watch Monk?
Yeah, no. Of course. And it still plays all the time. It's one of those shows.
One where he was OCD.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so there were a lot of Broadway-y people that got a lot of consideration on the Emmys. So that's very good. We like that.
We no longer have to have Game of Thrones winning everything.
Well, and yet it did.
Yes, but it's the last year. It won't happen anymore.
I will say Rhea Seehorn on Better Call Saul is one of the best actors on television right now, and she was not nominated, and she should.
She the girlfriend?
She's the lawyer, Kim Wexler.
Yeah,
she's
great.
Incredible.
Yes,
she's incredible.
I agree with you.
She's great. I would love to just continue to talk about television because I do love me some TV. But
yeah, they had bad ratings on TV, so we'll give them more here.
Yeah.
Oh, they did get, so if you didn't watch it, they had a very terrible idea that I think it's been universally panned. So there was no host, but there was a person, he's a name and I cannot remember his name, did these voiceovers that were just awful throughout. They were terrible.
Wow.
So when somebody said, so when the winner was Michael Trejo, and as you were walking on, he would do this voiceover with this shtick about you.
And they would show the most unflattering image for every winner in their role.
Wow.
From like
bloody
noses to weird crying. I'm like, you couldn't have picked every single winner had the worst photo.
See, this works out because most of my images are unflattering, so at least I would play into the narrative.
This was the year.
Exactly. Yes. Well, snubbed on that one too.
All right, so let's talk about. We had one opening on Broadway this week, and that was the Height of the Storm, which did not do all that well.
It was a storm.
There was a storm, but it had one Jonathan Pryce and Eileen Atkins in it. This is written by Florian Zeller. And he also read.
I love the name Florian, by the way. I hear it more.
He's French, so I really should be.
I know.
You could tell me that was a prescription, and I'd believe you.
So
that you're on Florian.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true. But Florian, Florian.
Yeah, when he's not making pills, he wrote. He wrote The Father. This is a trilogy. He wrote The Father, The Mother, and then now this one is The Height of the Storm. Not so good. Just want to say. They called this the chic but clammy Manhattan Theater Club production.
Oh, wow.
Directed by Jonathan Kent.
Do you really want to be clammy.
Yeah, and again, as I read these reviews, I still don't know what the damn show's about.
You know what's funny is I read one. I'm like, I'm so confused. I still don't know what happened.
Maybe it's a storm height thing, right? Like the height of the storm, right?
Could be.
Yeah.
It's like 50,000.
Yeah, like, I get who's there and I guess it's a play about measurement. But I don't get what's going on, if that makes any sense.
So it's a little obscure. We don't know whether both the lead characters may or may not be dead.
Hey, sounds great.
Yeah, it does. It did sound good. But they did give props to Jonathan Pryce and Eileen, whatever her last name is, for being very, very good. What was it?
Atkins,
thank you. I knew somebody corrected me. My mind.
That's at the Manhattan Theater Club?
It is the Manhattan Theater Club, yep. So Charles Isherwood said some of the other reviews said, Jonathan Pryce gives a performance of remarkable compassion, acuity, and devastating power. AM New York's Matt Weinman says, in taking on a jumbled structure and always trying to play games with the audience, it feels thin, repetitive, and too conceptual. Tim Tiemann of the Daily Beast says, Pryce and Atkins are marvelous, but they are also lost in the odd physical failure of the staging, rather than the thicket of Zeller's narrative mischiefs, which they fluently
mastered. That stinks when you have someone like Jonathan Pryce in your show.
I right. like me some Jonathan Pryce.
Me too.
He was great in Game of Thrones.
So right.
Sorry. Sorry.
Was he in Game of Thrones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was the High Septon. Or not.
Yeah, that's that? Right. He was. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't even know.
He wore that tunic.
He did. Yeah. I'm so poor I can't afford a tunic. I'm still in a one knit.
That was a good one.
There was another play that opened off Broadway that I want to talk about just very briefly because I know we're going to run out of time. But I like the name of it. It's called Our Dear Dead Drug Lord. And it's about four high school girls.
I secretly wrote that.
With a Ouija board bringing back Pablo Escobar.
Oh my God. That sounds great.
And this is a co-production with WP and Second Stage Theater at the McGinn Cazell Theater. And it just looks really interesting. And it's got these four young women in it that do really good. And then later in the, this was written by Ben Brantley. Later in the review, he says, the show, which features two additional cast members I'm not at liberty to mention, and then goes on to talk about stuff, that in itself makes me want to go see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's intriguing,
man. Yeah, it's intriguing. It closes on October 20th, so best.
I feel like someone was sitting in one of my theater classes in high school and stole that idea from me. Just saying.
Yeah,
it's maybe. Pretty smart.
Maybe. Yeah, no, we did it.
Who played with the Ouija board?
We all did.
We wrote a scene that was very similar to that, but we brought Oscar Wilde back. And I kid you not, yes, we wrote a scene. And that's why I'm like, they stole that. They
I brought Ferdinand Magellan back.
I see who that is.
I did.
Rounding the Cape
of
Good Hope.
We actually spent a lot of time talking to Ferdy, we called him Ferdy, on the Ouija board. We did. And then I have lots of Ouija stories.
Of all the people.
Michael Trejo, you just snorted.
I'm sorry. I just thought
of
like...
Do they still sell... I mean, I guess there's not really like the Toys R Us newer, but do they still sell them in the toy store?
Absolutely.
I think you can make one. You just
I know
need,
you can
like,
make one, but you know there's like...
You need human hair.
In hair.
Eye of Newt.
Okay. I'm actually a Ouija believer, so.
So am I. That's why I don't I mess it can with it.
I didn't mean to besmirch the Ouija.
Yeah.
Too. Isn't 6 opening too? Or is that last?
It did. We talked about open, that. Yeah.
Yep. There is on playbill.com, it says, which 6 song are you? You can take a quiz to
which
find out.
Which one were you?
I didn't take it because I would be the best song, whatever it is. So earlier this week, Nicole Shiro emailed me a link to I think it was KI. One of the networks did a little piece about this show called Last Out, The Elegy of a Green Beret. Do you want to tell folks about it?
So I can't remember if I saw it on CBS this morning or if I saw it on Sunday Willy Geist. I record all these shows and watch them. So it was this gentleman, it's a whole bunch of retired and ex-military men that decided to write a play.
Mann is the gentleman's name that created this.
And write their stories. Everyone in the show is military, was military, and has served. They raised all their own money. They built all their props, their set, their costume. They bought the lights, the risers, the whole nine yards, and have taken this show all around the United States in limited engagements, all over the place.
Wow.
And it was just, I was like, look at the, he goes, if you ever told me this guy out here leading battalions and I'd be on like a stage, I would have never told you. He's like, but this has healed me and my PTSD and what it means to be a soldier. And they're all, it's very coarse line, whereas these are the soldier stories in the script. It's not all just a facade. It really, it just moved me. I was like, man, this is what art is about. This is what theater can heal, and theater, there is something for everyone. It
very
was
powerful
just,
stuff.
Yeah, the name of the play is called Last Out.
Right, and it's been touring the country throughout 2019. I don't think it plans to come here, but it seems to be relatively self-contained. There'll be a link on our site where you can see the video that Nicole was talking about. And it was created by this man who I just said his name, Scott Mann, and his wife, Monty. I just need to say Scott and Monty Mann. Come on.
he was a Green Beret,
indeed.
Remember correctly.
Yes, he was. Mm-hmm. It says, The Last Out is a theatrical experience intended to help civilians better understand the cost of combat to our veterans and their families.
Wow.
And to help warriors utilize the power of story to let go of their pain, healing the wars of wounds.
There's been multiple soldiers that have attended the performance and said it has helped them with their healing and their PTSD beyond anything that they could have imagined in therapy. I mean, it was so cool. Lastoutplay.com, I think, is the actual like play.
That reminds me of the program that they at Fort Hood, where there's a bunch of actors.
Yes.
I mean, we've all met these folks, Michelle Keffer, Joey Hood, a bunch of other folks have done a tour in this thing, going up to Killeen, I think once a week or something like that to perform.
Yeah, and Joe used to
just
do that.
Used to be in it all the time.
And they talk about the healing properties of those performances and how powerful they are. I mean, it's great to see that there's more of that going on.
Yeah because the arts are constantly under attack by people in the government and elsewhere as unimportant and frivolous, and it certainly is not. I want to get to a couple things, and I want to make sure we have time for it. I'm going to just jump right to what we were talking about before we went on the air, and a very interesting article about Broadway lottery tickets and what they've sort of morphed into from what they became, and how different
what they have become.
Thank you, teacher. So the lottery started, I believe, pretty much the lottery as it stands now is started by Hamilton. Other people have done versions of a lottery, but Hamilton really sort of broke the mold.
You mean, that's not true.
No, it's been on for
I camped in line for Chicago Revival when it first opened with Anne Rankin. I camped in line for Rent when Rent first came out.
Didn't Book of Mormon go through this too? Rent?
No, standing in line is different from the lottery.
Digital, that was still called a lottery.
Okay. Well,
because you had to put your name in. I had to put my name in for Hairspray, and I won it out of a hat. It was a lottery.
So I apologize for being wrong. Hamilton made it very, very popular. Hamilton did do, and the reason for the lottery at the time, was to allow people that couldn't afford to go to get decent tickets. And what they did and continue to do, Hamilton specifically, is they blocked the first two rows. They are blocked out. They are not sold. They are not in a block. They are specifically given for this lottery. But what's happening now with a lot of other theaters, first of all, I didn't realize this. So for Hamilton and many others, it's $10 when you win. But there's a range. The most expensive one is Wicked, who can certainly...
It's nutty.
It is nutty. They make so much money. So if you win the lottery, you have to pay $59 for your ticket.
Really?
And the show's been open over 20 years. And think about that.
I believe Wicked is one of the ones that are doing this. They are not setting aside seats. They are taking their unsold seats. Some of them are obstructed view seats. You might win the lottery and end up on the third balcony, which is, to me, not watching a show.
Wow.
So it's very interesting. And so now a lot of other companies are doing, especially the companies that are not selling out, they're giving their unsold seats to the lotteries. The ones that are not selling well that typically paper the house or go to seat fillers, which gives them a negative mark. They don't look good. Mm-hmm. They start selling those seats as lottery seats instead, which make them...
Which they're not even putting them over to like TKTS. They're putting them through the lottery.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I find it really, really interesting.
It's all just a sham.
It's a sham.
One big sham.
Yeah,
it sounds like it.
So, do they move their unsold seats to folks like StubHub and stuff like that, or is that
TodayTix?
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, But they have a fee, like $12. So you get your $49 ticket, and then you pay for $12 service.
Today Ticks is a really good. It's a boom to the ticket market. Yeah, I like them.
I use it all the time.
I do as well. And they meet you at the theater and hand you your ticket.
What?
Sweet. And that's a little red blazer.
Yes. Wow.
Okay, yeah. That's kind of snazzy. Oh,
yeah, nice. It is.
That's like the luggage service in Japan. Amazing.
Just like that.
Yep.
Does anybody listen to theater podcasts?
No.
Yeah. Which one are you going to talk about this week?
I'm not going to talk about one. There's a new network, and they say it's the first network, but I happen to know of another one. The Broadway Radio has a series of podcasts, but this one is called Broadway Podcast Network. And they have 30 podcasts currently with 1,200 episodes with some very interesting ones. Ones that are well-known like Broadwasted.
Why are we not on there?
I don't know. They didn't ask us to join Broadway Radio either. And they were on our show.
And yeah, I was about to say hello, Matt Tamanini. Hello.
What's up, Matt?
Yeah, Matt. Matt Tamanini. God. Thank you. He got a new co-host. Didn't ask me to do it.
No. Didn't get that call.
That's Matt being Matt, you know.
Yeah, but there are podcasts like The Ensemblist, which talks about a podcast specifically for
The Ensemble.
There's The Ladies Who Lunch that has got host Donna McKechnie.
Yeah, I was like, Miss McKechnie's in
interviewing amazing women in theater.
She hasn't called us either.
She hasn't.
Wow.
There's a new musical podcast series that I listen to the first three of them. And
when are we going to do a musical episode where we just sing to each other the whole time?
Wow. It's called Loveville High.
You didn't sing back to me.
So, no, I didn't.
She just went right, glossed silent. Right over that one.
So go you can go find it offstage on air. You find a link, and there's a list of these things. I would also suggest that you check out Broadway Radio. One of the ones I listen to every day is Today on Broadway, which gives you just a daily rundown of some of the top stories, which mimic the Broadway
briefing
that we get. It's all the same stuff, but we're all getting our
or if people just listen to offstage and on the air at KOOP, it's the stuff they get.
That's true.
I should be on that list. I'm emailing those people. I feel offended.
I went down a podcast wormhole a while back to figure out what was being talked about, but I didn't run into these guys. I ran into a lot of pre-recorded lectures and stuff, and I was like,
It's funny, when I was looking when I first started listening to podcasts 10 years ago or so, there was just a couple.
It was like a drip, yeah.
And now there's
like the Actors School had one, and it was like these 30-minute interviews that sounded like they were recorded in like a hallway, and it was just like, no, never mind.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They put out a list for the most produced plays, as they do every year. And for the second year in a row, Doll's House Part 2, except this year they tied with Curious Incident.
I thought it was a tie, wasn't it?
There were four ties this year. And it's very interesting. So I want to just...
Did you see Doll's House Part 2 at Hyde Park?
I did.
It was good. I liked it. It was a good script.
I saw his, what's his name? Knath.
You look like you have serious paper action.
Lucas Knath. Yeah.
Okay. You're right. Doll's House Part 2, Curious Incident tied. Then Every Brilliant Thing. Bright Star, which
Steve
would like
Martin.
To do that. Mm-hmm. Pipeline tied with Tiny Beautiful Things. Admissions, which is being done right now by Jarrett Productions, is tied with Cambodian Rock Band. The Children by Lucy Kirkwood is tied with The Great Leap. Murder on the Orient Express is tied with Schoolgirls or the African Mean Girls
Play. I love that show. They just did it at the Alley. Just closed at the Alley. No, I couldn't. There was like something happened with rain or something. I couldn't get there. I was so bummed. But Every Brilliant Thing is Zach's doing that this year.
There you go. Zach's doing it. It's got to be good.
No, I'm just talking about the shows that were happening around town. So I'm just telling you.
And Zach's doing it.
So go.
Everyone go. Hashtag all right. No judgment.
We're going to go away and just take a little break. Yikes. I do want to say very quickly, there's a little... Did you see this thing about this show called Identical?
Yes.
Which is based on Eric Kastner's 1949 novel called Lottie and Lisa. Everybody knows that, right?
Oh, right. Right.
Well, it was made into a movie called The Parent Trap.
Yeah, I was like, you guys all know this.
Oh, right.
Haley Mills, folks.
Yeah, now it rings a bell.
Haley Mills and what's her name?
Lindsay Lohan. But let's just go back to Haley Mills.
Yeah, that's exactly. Right. The Lohan did this.
Yep. So that's going to be done at the Nottingham Playhouse. It's a musical. So I'm all up for it. All right, we're going to take a little break. You know what we didn't talk about, and we're not going to, but because I used music from it, or from the idea of it, Placido Domingo has just left the production of Macbeth.
They open tonight, right? Or something like that?
Opens tonight, yes.
Whoops.
No more. So,
no more Placido
There's
Domingo.
There's some lottery seats.
But go to offstageonair.com. There's a link to the article, and it's actually quite interesting. We'll be right back.
It was interesting. Mm.
Well, one of the many, many universities here in Austin, Texas that have a fine, fine theater department, St. Edward's University, is here, and they're doing a show called A Flea in Her Ear. And we have the wonderful cast. We've been talking to them all morning or all afternoon, whatever it is. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. We have the director, Bob Tolero.
Hello.
Hello. And we have two of the performers, Patrick Byers.
Hello.
And Michael Trejo.
Hello.
And of this austere group of people working on the show, only one of you is a student currently. Is that correct?
That would be me.
That would be you. What are you studying?
I'm studying acting.
Really?
How lucrative.
Hit it for the big bucks.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, people make a lot of money. You can go out onto the west side of Austin to the big mansions over there. Most of those people are actors here in town.
Yep.
That's right.
So, Bob, A Flea in Her Ear. It's a farce, is it not?
A Flea in Her Ear. It is a farce. It's hilarious. It's Georges Feydeau. It's turn of the century. And it's we did kind of serious shows last year, so we decided to do something a little bit raucous and hilarious. And so we dug. Oh, Georges Feydeau. I love Feydeau. I did a show of his at the Dallas Theater Center. And I said, oh, let's see what A Flea in Her Ear is up to. So we found this wonderful translation. They call it translation. I'm not sure if it's an adaptation by David Ives, who did...
David Ives of...
Lady...
That one.
Fur, the fur show.
Yes.
Ladies in Fur. Fur. Somebody's in Fur.
Yeah, Venus in Fur.
Venus.
Venus, oh, Venus in Fur. Thank you.
That was hard.
I couldn't think of either. I'm like, good show. That lady.
So we decided to go ahead and produce it, and it's delightful. It's in the turn of the century, and it's just a hilarious foible about the foibles of human nature. And we just watched this journey of this it's a very simple story, I suspect, about a woman who decides that her husband is being unfaithful, and she goes on this journey to prove it. And she ends up at the Frisky Puss Hotel, which is where perhaps all of this activity is taking place.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Okay. Well, I hear it's an evening of madcap comic antics, complete with significant shenanigans and plenty of peccadillos on display.
Wow. I guess.
Shenanigans. That's some copyright. You know I am all about shenanigans. Yeah. My life is filled with them.
Patrick, what do you play?
I play Victor Shondabies and Poche.
Okay, for those of you that are watching on the webcam, when he said that second name, he took a look over to Robert Tolero. Why
did
that look?
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, there might be another character in this play that comes into play at the Frisky Puss Hotel that adds to the mania.
I see. Similar to that, to the review I read before about the two additional characters that critic felt he could not name.
Right.
The character that cannot be named.
This is Pablo Escobar.
Michael Trejo, what do you play?
I play Carlos, Don Carlos Omenides de Estangua.
Okay.
And I'm not a student there.
You're an alum.
I am an alum, right.
I graduated
in 97, and so I play the Fiery Spaniard.
Every farce needs one of those.
That's right. And I was thrilled at the opportunity to do it. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Now this is done at St. Edward's, and you know what we need to do before we do that? Patrick, you've never been on the show before, so you get the duty. I'd like
you
to
work to do now here. So.
I would like you to give me a number between 2 and 53.
52. See that?
Okay, let's see what that is. Here it is.
It's pretty good.
Hello. I'm Ben Vereen. You are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsberry Austin.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ben Vereen.
Mr. Ben Vereen.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I chose correct.
You chose well.
And he giggled so well. Like, Lisa and I were just smiling as he did it. And then he giggled afterwards. And Lisa and I were like, "Nee!"
So St. Edward's is a theater in the round, is it not?
Correct.
How is it doing a farce in the round? That's a question to all three of you.
Challenging, challenging, challenging. But
how do you really feel, Bob?
But fun.
Yeah.
Because the action is, you know, you come out of one, we call them vomitoriums, and you're just lightning speed going to the next one, doing a costume change. You go all the way around the other side of the building and turn into a second character.
It's a whirlwind of excitement.
Very fast. You can ask them how
sweaty. I'm very sweaty by the end of this play.
Yeah, it's a sweat.
Thank you for sharing, Patrick.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cardio for sure.
How many people are in the cast?
14.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good size cast.
It's a very big cast for a straight play.
Yeah.
Yep. So you guys are prepared to do a little scene, are you not?
We have.
Would somebody like to set that up for us?
So this is Don Carlos comes in and is talking to his. He meets his friend Shonda Bees, and they're having a conversation about things.
Well, Shonda Bees owns an insurance company.
Thank you, Bob.
And that's why he's there, because you'll see why. But they're. He's trying to sell some insurance to his wife.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this is Patrick Byers and Michael Trejo doing a scene from St. Edward's University production of A Flea in Her Ear.
Ah, my dear friend, I am yours.
How are you, Senor Romanitas de Estangua?
Bueno, muy bueno, your health, everything is going?
Well, everything is well.
My spouse is here?
Your spouse? Ah, your spouse is with my spouse.
Yes, she's telling me she was going to take my behind first.
She was going to take your behind first? Ah, she said she was going to get here ahead of you.
Sí. Ah, but Shanda Beach, I am at your company today to see your doctor.
Yes, he told me.
You know, your doctor Fanacci, he calls me to urinate.
I'm sorry?
He calls me to urinate. To pithing. I make the pee-pee.
Yes, I get it.
And why must I make this pee-pee?
We have to see if your kidneys are insurable.
But it is not y'all who's to be insured. It's my spouse's.
Really? Well, this is easily fixed. All your wife has to do is come to the company and
what? She has to make the pee-pee like me?
Well...
You'll say no.
But, Senor Romanito...
You'll say no. You'll say no. You'll say no.
But it's a company rule.
They're rules. I break them. Besides, I already make the pee-pee for the both of us.
Technically, you can only make pee-pee for yourself.
So bueno, she is no insured, but tui on the Paris Life Company.
You're not jealous in some way, are you?
Halos? Me? Halos? These are not halosy. This is undignified. And my wife already know that I'm a terrible man. She no dare to do nada.
Ah.
You see this little knick-knack?
Wait a minute. Don't play around with that. That's dangerous.
No. This is no danger. This is the danger sign.
Yes, buddy.
If I catch my wife with a gentleman, he receives the ball in his back, which will come out in the back.
I don't understand.
Into his back and out of her back.
Oh, I see. Because you suppose you'd find the two of them together and
what
I
you
see.
Suppose?
Nothing. I suppose nothing. Absolutely nothing.
She know I kill her. I tell her on our wedding night.
Must have been sweet.
She will never cross the swords with me.
One minute. I have a gentleman I'd like you to meet. Tornell, a broker at my company. A capital fellow with only one fault in the world. He's woman crazy.
Ah, you're so crazy too this way.
He's in a hurry at the moment because a lady's waiting for him.
A lady, eh?
I say waiting for him, but it could have been for me. You see, she wrote him a real boiler of a love letter.
I have boiled myself.
Ew.
Who is this lady?
No idea. She didn't sign the letter.
Ah, so she is the Nanamoose.
Oh, the style is too sentimental for a coquette. She's probably married. Here, look for yourself.
Okay, well, I'm hellish of you guys.
Hellish.
And I'm going to rearrange my knick-knacks.
Right.
What fun is that? And yeah. Pacing. Pacing had to be the order of the day when you were rehearsing this, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
You can tell when you go off the rails, like immediately.
Yeah.
I can imagine. It's like, uh-oh.
Right, and you got to learn the lines.
That's good. That's the thing.
Hot take.
So when do you guys open?
We open tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
You know, the sun will come out tomorrow, and then you will open.
And play through?
October 6th?
Yes.
He said confidently?
That is correct.
He said confidently.
And you're at the theater at St. Edward's. How can folks get more information?
You can go to a website called stedwards.edu/theater.
Theater.
And you can get tickets or call 512-448-8484. And
this is show information.
And this is student night. If you want to call, find out about that on Friday this week.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming
Thanks
on
for
the
having
show.
Us. Thank
yes,
you so much.
Thank
for
sounds
you.
Like a lot of fun. I must go see it. I must run through the bombs, as
yes,
they say,
yes.
Which is the title of my third book.
Maybe not during the show.
Maybe during the show. I could be there.
Why not?
Yeah. You don't know. I may be that secret person.
Lisa's bringing her own shenanigans to the show.
Wonderful.
I would love to have.
Well, that was Robert Tolero, Michael Trejo, and Patrick Byers of St. Edward's University, a production of A Flea in Her Ear, running September 26th through October 6th at St. Edward's University Theater. For more information, you can go to stedwards.edu/theater or call 512-448-8484. And this song from Alice the Musical has one of my favorite poems of all time.
A flea and a fly in a flu.
A fly and a flea were caught in a flu.
That's very good.
One of my, that's a Lisa standard. So we're running out of time, but I want to make sure we have time to go through this. The Biden Payne Awards were announced this week.
Last week?
Oh, did y'all talk about it last week?
Very quickly.
Good, then we don't need to talk about it.
Because they added the stage manager.
They did, and I have a problem with that.
I know.
Let's talk about that for a second. Bob, how do you feel? Well, you've got two stage managers here in the room. How do you feel about having a stage manager award?
Well, I think it's my fault.
So it's your fault.
It's probably my fault. A few years ago, I suggested that they give an award to the Austin Opera for this opera they did where the whole set came down and the calling of it must have been outrageous. So yep. I suggested that. But I think they're the unsung heroes, and I think we should stay the unsung heroes personally.
Right. So my feeling is for somebody on the outside, they have no way to gauge the performance of a stage manager, because if somebody on the outside notices the stage manager, that means they've done a poor job.
Right.
Huh. So that seems to be something that should be voted on by the casts and crew that work with them. That would be a whole different story.
Right. It's wonderful, the recognition.
I agree with that. As well. Yeah. So it's hard. I don't know how somebody in the House could adjudicate that very well.
Just ask me. I know everything.
It's true. Well, good. Then we actually saved a little bit more time. I did want to talk about this. I've been meaning to talk about this for a while. It looks very interesting. It's called Ready, Set, Die, presented by the Final Acts Project at the Scottish Rite. Did you see this?
I did.
I'm just going to read this from Now Playing Austin. Lisa Mena is a world-renowned magician and performance artist who travels the globe changing attitudes about social issues through storytelling and magic. She did this in collaboration with the Final Acts Project. She sheds new light on the most common human experience, the end of life.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa's performance of intrigue, comedy, and wonder draws attention to the mystery and awe that surrounds the world of the unknown with a gentleness and humor that is sure to make even the most fearful or anxious of us feel more at ease. It just sounds like an interesting artistic endeavor to like sort of deal with this, the end of life thing, which we all don't like to talk about.
No.
You don't like talking about dying?
No,
I do.
There's no time for that.
I can't wait for that.
All right.
I'm tired. anyway, there is one show and one show only on September 25th. Is that tonight? That's tonight.
Yes, that is tonight.
And
one night only.
And it says Wednesday. If I just looked at that, I would
there
have said
you
that.
Go.
You can find information at no website. But you go to
it's Now Playing Austin.
Now Playing Austin Scottish can find it, or at the Austin Scottish Rite Theater.
Yeah,
yeah, no website. Okay,
Someone's right now going no website.
Yeah, something something disappears. Something something magic trick.
Yep. So while we're gonna take this, don't want to do that. Yeah, going to just run into Today in Theater History, if I can find it.
Today in Theater History?
Yes.
What happened, Lisa?
There are many things.
Tell me.
Back in 1928, Bob, you'll remember this.
I love her.
Yeah.
A show called Chi-Chi Musicals. Anybody ever heard of it?
I feel like I do.
It's written by Rogers and Hart.
That's
anybody?
Oh, right. Rogers and Hart.
Yeah. It's about
Rodgers and Hart without knowing who they are.
Right.
I don't
really, wait.
I'm just affirming.
No, yeah, you do. You know their standards. You just are going to be like, oh, Rodgers and Hart.
Rodgers and Hart. Yeah. Do you not know Rodgers and Hart?
They did Tichy, right?
I love Michael Trejo.
Oh yes, you will.
Yes, yeah. Yes. He's. You're invited back on. yes, they did Chi-Chi. It's a you're familiar with it, Michael. What's it about?
It's about there's one Chi, and then they find another Chi.
Well, actually, it's about the losing of a Chi.
It's like a Parent Trap type thing.
Because this musical is about castration in ancient China.
Parent Trap, right. Yeah.
Can you imagine it was not a hit?
No,
my God.
Yeah. Wow.
It closed after 31.
Who in 1920s was like, I'm going to write a musical.
Right.
And it's going to be about castration in China.
You know, I went to castration yesterday and I thought.
No, we'll do one about barbers who cut people's throats and make pies.
Exactly.
Right.
It closed after 31 performances. Guess how many other Lawrence and Hart, Rodgers and Hart's shows went 31 shows or less?
How many others?
Yep.
I feel like all their shows were short runs like that.
No, it's the only one.
Oh.
It's the shortest of their runs.
Except for their revivals. I feel like their originals were all like...
Well, this was their shortest. And anyway, 31 performances, which in 1928 was... I mean, by today's standards, it would probably be 5 performances.
Yeah.
They'd snip it a lot earlier.
Yep. Let's see... in 1961, skipping ahead 40 some odd years, Frank Fay passed away. It's the anniversary of his death. He's the star of Harvey, and he was married to Barbara Stanwyck.
Wow. Barbara Stanwyck. You just made me smile thinking about her. Mm.
Beast Ann.
And here's something I found interesting.
Beast Ann.
You don't...
Beast Ann.
Beast Ann. The Stanster. Yeah. Frank Fay and Barbara Stanwyck would be the Fanwick, the Faywick. That would be their couple name.
There we go.
So we've devolved.
We went off the rails,
sorry.
Man.
I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. We love it. This I did not know or hear about, but this is interesting. You don't typically hear in Today in Theater History about the anniversary of an article that they see. But it was reported in
did
Variety.
Did the person who write this write that article?
Right, exactly. A tribute to me.
In 1963, Variety reported that Sammy Davis Jr. turned down Iago to play next to Laurence Olivier.
Whoa.
I know. Davis said he's just not ready for the dramatic demands of that role.
As Iago.
Tap-dancing Iago.
Yeah.
Tap-dancing Iago.
There's a green eye joke in here somewhere.
There is. This is the anniversary of the opening of one Evita.
Don't cry for me.
Don't cry for me, Che Guevara. In 2003, I'm just going to read this. By a macabre coincidence, that's always a good start.
It's like, that's a sad start.
Edward Said is a Palestinian-born Columbia University professor who is the model for the character in the play Omnium Gatherum, mm-hmm. which you did.
Yes, talking about that show last week multiple times. I was just saying it's brilliant. And boy, is it time. I'd like to see it again for when it first came out, decades ago.
Yeah. It came out in
2003. Okay, yeah, because it was right after 9/11. Hello, yeah. It takes place right after 9/11. Hello.
So he died the same day the show opened off Broadway.
Oh,
really?
Yep. And the show was written by Teresa Rebeck. And Alexander Gersten Vassalaros.
It's a dinner party in hell, basically, kind of like the hostess is based off like a Martha Stewart. And they literally, it's right after 9/11, and there's a fireman, there's a rabbi.
Wow.
Yeah, there's a terrorist.
So a fireman and a rabbi walk into a dinner party.
Why the long face? Wait a minute.
So it's all these different, and they sit and have this whole, and the whole play takes place during a like 7-course meal. Yes. It's such a good play.
All right, we got to stop.
Play.
Yeah. 2008 is the anniversary of the opening of the revival of Equus, starring Harry Potter. Daniel Radcliffe.
It's
a wonderful piece. Peter Schaefer and his brother
Anthony
Schaefer.
His name's Daniel Radcliffe. I'm not going to shame the poor guy.
Oh, I said it.
I saw a brilliant St. Ed's production of that, starring a very young and a very amazing Jeff Mills.
Really?
Yep. It was awesome.
Well, this show really launched Daniel Radcliffe's career as a theater actor. He was pretty, he was still Harry Potter at that time. Mm-hmm. So good for him. All right.
He succeeded in business after that.
He did. So let's... oy Vesemir.
with the mayo.
So here we go. We're going to take a little break.
With the mayo.
We're going to listen to Evita. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
We have been having a rousing conversation starring one Michael Dreho.
Yes. Stop. He realized he does know Rogers in heart.
Yeah, you put a mic in front of me. Things happen.
Yeah, well, which is a good thing. Yeah. You're welcome. That's why we have you here.
Awesome.
Let's switch gears and talk to Trey Deason about Shrewd Productions production. Shoot Productions production of, I'm trying not to say production after a company that calls themselves
production. Production.
So let's try that again. We're going to talk to Trey Deason about Shoots. Shoots.
Easy for you to say.
Beep. Let's talk to Trey Deason about Shrewd Productions show, Jump by Charlie Evan Simpson, which is a National New Play Network Rolling World premiere, which Shrewd's does several of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So tell us in the new works.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing. So tell us about this show, Trey.
So this is a show. It stars Chelsea Manassari.
We love Chelsea Manassari.
And she's on stage the entire show. She like leaves to go around to the back, basically.
She goes out the vom and back in another
vom. Yeah, to kind of make her entrance. She's on stage the entire time. She plays a woman who's going through some very... difficult emotional times. Specifically, her mother has passed away from cancer, and her family is kind of not really dealing with this very well. They're sort of fragmented, and it's goes back and forth between scenes with her family clearing out the house with her dad, who's needing to move on, and her sister, who's there to help, and also it goes between that and the scenes with Hopkins, who I play, a man she meets on a bridge.
Okay. What's happening there on that bridge?
I feel like I always meet a Hopkins. He's the man I meet on a bridge.
Just he's the guy on a bridge.
He's the guy,
he's the guy
on a bridge.
Who likes to walk on a bridge.
Does the bridge, does the bridge have a view?
Oh, it's a great view.
Is it at the right place, or is it a bridge too far?
It's in Madison County.
It never says where the bridge is. I mean, it's something we talked about. Like, where is this bridge? Because
it's on
about
the road to
lot.
Nowhere.
It's a big metaphor in the play, but yeah.
Well, I think a bridge would be a metaphor.
I was like,
so
I
this is
be
a this a comedy. I'm assuming.
Oh, it's there's some singing
comedy.
And dancing in it.
There's some singing and dancing.
Oh, there is?
Not a lot. No, there is a little bit. But it is a very it's a very meditative and moving drama.
Well, I hear it's at once heartbreaking, hilarious, and hopeful.
I think
that's kind of a lot of emotion
accurate.
There. That's
they're part of the 3H Club.
Yeah. It's very cathartic.
Yes. And tell us about your role of Hopkins.
Well, he is a character who has his own demons. And in some ways, it's Faye, which is Chelsea's character, is sort of bouncing her own traumas off of him. He is a troubled guy who is kind of not wanting to go on and has lots of depressive episodes. And that's one of the reasons why he keeps going up to the bridge.
Yeah.
And that's so that's a big element of the themes of the play that's very heavy and been a challenge to live with. While working on it, but it's such a the journey to the end is just very cathartic and I think very healing.
How many people on the show?
There are four people.
Four people.
Yeah, I named them all. It's so Chelsea.
Did I miss it?
There may have been other characters. That's a fair question. But Chelsea is playing Faye. Allegra Fox is the sister. Judy and Kyron Hayes is the father.
Awesome. And it is directed by Shrewd's founder, Shannon Grounds.
That's correct.
Miss Shannon.
Yeah. So this is a National New Play Network Rolling World premiere. Can you talk about that at all?
A little. I don't know the specifics of the new play. Now, I have worked on some of these before. Basically, uh-huh. one of the things is I'm also a playwright. So if you are a writer, you know that it's one of the things that's kind of difficult when getting new plays produced is everyone wants the premiere of the play. And there's a lot of different language that goes along with that, which is kind of confusing and annoying, and that I can't even go into because I don't even understand it.
Right.
So the National New Play Premiere was sort of this thing that was started where multiple theaters across the country premiere, not at the same time, but it's a rolling, it's like sort of different months, and so each theater can claim that they premiered the show in their own way. Usually it's around three different theaters.
I have the list right here.
Oh, yeah.
So in this case, the partnering theaters with this show is the Playmakers Rep in Chapel Hill, Confrontation Theater in Malago in Portland, the Actors Express in Atlanta, and that's it.
So four. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Right. So I think it's a great idea, and that's the New Play Network, which I think anybody can get access to. I don't know if you have to be a member to look through it, but it's a wonderful thing. Ground Floor Theater is a member, and I believe, I'm assuming you are as well, Trey, because most of the playwrights here in town are a member of the National New Play Network, which is a wonderful thing. I don't think it's been around a whole long time. First time I remember seeing it was less than 10 years ago.
Yeah, definitely less than 10 years ago or so. Yeah. But I think I joined maybe 4 or 5 years ago.
Founded in 1998, it says.
Oh, wow. That is actually a long time.
I was just about to pull up and tell you. And there is information where you can find out about what theaters, artists, programs, everything is on their site. It's nnpn.org.
Correct. So you have, back to Jump, you have a small short monologue, yes?
Yes. We decided to go ahead and perform a little thing. Most of my scenes are all with Chelsea. And since she is not able to be here, there's not a lot we can do. But this is a little short monologue near the end that's slightly edited to avoid spoilers. This is a moment when Faye asks Hopkins. Hopkins has already revealed that he is considered jumping off the bridge, and this is a moment where Faye asks him, why'd you stop? What stopped you?
Okay, so this is Trey Deason doing a short monologue from Trude Productions show, Jump, by Charlie Evan Simpson.
It isn't like something I can explain. Me. I stopped myself. I don't know, Faye. The fact that you started singing along with me. The way the light hits your face. Or maybe it was the car that drove by with the baby sitting in the back. Or the wind. Or the stars. Or the fact that I had to pee. And who wants to die while they have to pee? Or maybe it was the chance of survival and pain. Or maybe it was the lack of chance of survival and pain. I don't know. Why have you been on this bridge, Faye? Why have you been walking the bridge?
Okay, awesome. Sounds powerful.
That was like, that's powerful.
You guys have already opened, yes?
Yes, we actually closed this weekend.
Right, on the 29th, correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. And where can folks go to get more information?
You can go to just the best place would be the website, shrewdproductions.com.
Is a good place. Yes, it is. That's what I have. Well, Trey, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Wonderful. That was Trey Deason of Shrewd Productions show Jump by Charlie Evan Simpson, playing through September 29th at the Santa Cruz Theater. For more information, shrewdproductions.com. We will be right back. And we are back.
We are back.
Well, we did it. We made it through another hour.
Can you believe
In spite of Michael Trejo.
I know. I was trying to go long.
Go long. That's
go
a football
long.
Term.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
look at you with your football. You want to come to the game with me this weekend?
You'll be happy to know.
You could see your family.
You'll be happy to know that I happened to watch the last minute and a half of the Houston Texans against some other football team.
And you watched us win.
I am happy to know that.
I'm not a football watcher.
I sit with her family.
What?
I kid you not.
It was actually quite exciting. They had, if the, the other team, whoever it was driving towards
the Chargers.
The goal, and if they made the touchdown, they would have won, but they didn't.
Yeah.
There was a penalty on the play.
That's what happens sometimes in football.
Anyway, so that last 2 minutes I watched lasted a half an hour.
It did. It was. I literally was like, that was the long 2 minutes. Normally, always go 15. But that was the longest 2 minutes ever.
Yeah. Wow. So there is the football corner on Offstage and on Air.
Football is theater. There's a first act, a second act, an intermission, costumes,
we're gonna
choreographer,
get along just
fine. Lighting. There is. Like, it is.
Metaphor. Okay.
Well, everybody, stick around for Backstage at Offstage, where we'll learn a little bit more about this and talk more football.
football!
And what else? You can tweet us, love us, all that stuff.
Make sure you tell us how awesome we are when you leave comments on Twitter and Stitcher and iTunes and all those places.
We want to hear all that. So let's go out.
And hopefully they'll add us soon to the pod list.
Yeah, let's go out with a little bit of Beetlejuice, shall we?
Yeah.
We'll see y'all next week, everybody.
How
bye.
Spectacular. Hey, Mom. Dead Mom. I need a little help here. I'm probably talking to myself here. But Dead Mom.
Well, the curtain has just come down on football. Ball is boring, the musical.
I like football.
Football is boring. With the title song is Football is Boring.
I disagree with you. You're not singing it with me.
No, I'm not. Actually, I will say that football probably isn't boring. Talking about it is. That's me. So we're here backstage. We've gone backstage. The show is over. We're standing here out by the dumpsters.
It's quite hot today.
And the new catering company that's right next door. So so that's good. And it's quite hot today. You know, it is almost October, and it's still 100 degrees in Austin,
fall.
Texas.
Right.
But
it's not technically fall. It is fall.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel like
But you know when the weather changes every year, it seems? The first day of ACL Fest. Somehow they magically roll.
No, it doesn't. I go every year and I sweat my tickets off. This year we get one coming rolling in at like 50 this Friday, nice. But it's always hot.
Let's hold, please. Sorry. Here we can pick this conversation up. But I want to let people know who's joined us backstage. We have Mr. Michael Trejo is
Hi.
Here.
Hi,
and Trey Deason. Trey, you've been back here before, haven't you?
Yes, once.
Yeah, once. Was it fun? Was it everything you ever could imagine?
Yes, My big memory was I was here with Rudy.
Rudy Ramirez? Last,
Rudy Ramirez.
Heard of him.
And I revealed that I wrote a musical when I was a young
girl. Yes, oh, that's right. I do remember you revealing
based
this.
On the making of Alfred Hitchcock's Foreign Correspondent, which is just the weirdest thing.
Yes.
It didn't seem weird at the time, but
has
yeah.
Rudy hit you up for the rights to that yet?
No, I think he was just like, what is wrong with you?
Hey, why well, not, man?
Yeah, and everybody's always asking that question.
Speaking
what is
of,
wrong
speaking
with Trey
of Rudy, I'm going to toot your horn and Rudy's horn. And right now in the Austin Chronicle Best Of, currently up to vote for is one Lisa Sheps.
Yes.
With Dave Stakely and Rudy Ramirez.
Yep.
Wow.
Those are the three.
I'm in very very good company.
What's the category?
Best director.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's
congratulations.
Tons of
Thank
different
you.
Stuff on there. And if folks are interested in wanting to vote or learning who else
sure.
is on there, they can visit the Chronicle. But yeah, Lisa, yeah. hats off to you. Sorry.
That's what I want
to
figure out.
We didn't
out
bring
how to
that
do.
Up on
it's
air.
Okay. I try not to.
Yeah, well, I meant to. And, you know, so.
Well,
I'm bringing it up now.
You got it. But I want to try to figure out, speaking of the best of, so the best theater space, it is always between Zach, there's three, and it's not Vortex, it's not Ground Floor Theater, it's not Hyde Park, it's not any of the theaters that we all work in. It's Zach, and it's not even Austin Playhouse.
I can tell you who it is.
Yeah, find out who it is. But it's.
I think the
so
Long Center probably.
It might be the Long Center.
I think the Long Center is on there, and I think it's Paramount is the other one.
Yeah. Yes.
So it is.
So
it
I'm
is,
trying to figure out how we
you
can.
You need to get people to vote and nominate.
Yeah, it's true. I won the Best Actor one last year.
You did. Yeah. Tough. I won Best Director. We should get together.
Yeah,
and
we
do
should.
Something.
We,
she also won.
I defended my crown
one year too. But it is based. You have to go in and vote and do all that yourself. Yeah. So
I voted. If, there's a lot of
if you don't nominate. Well,
and it
you
is
don't
kind of
there.
A popularity right. contest. I know that when I went on to vote, of course. Well, I won't tell you who I voted for best director. There are several people here at Co-op Radio that are up in various awards. And mm-hmm. Co-op Radio is up for best radio station.
Nice.
I had to go through and like give some love to folks I know.
Right.
I feel like
you were there too. Why isn't this coming up right away? I'll pop in when it comes up.
It is.
Let's listen to Nicole surf the web.
It is weird though.
You
want to
put the speaker onto the keyboard for you?
Because the nominations, like, you know, if you and five friends had a really wonderful theatrical experience at the Paramount, you can write that in.
Right.
You know, it's similar to the way that
there is a line to ballot and put in your own. Yep. So it doesn't have to be something automatically on there.
Right.
We're now to the vote where the
nominations
voting stage.
The nomination stage is where the folks like places like the Paramount, Long Center and these other spaces will probably get more traction.
So,
but one of the things that I really think that and we talk about it on the show a lot, and I think we need to continue to talk about it is getting the citizens of Austin to know that there's theater out there outside of the ZAC.
Yes.
And other.
So it's Paramount Theater, the Vortex, and ZAC.
Okay, good. Vortex is there. Mm-hmm. And good for them too, because they've done some major work to get themselves out there, known as a major force in the theater scene. But I do want the citizens of Austin to have more of an understanding of the smaller theaters out there that are doing some stuff that is very, very interesting.
Yeah, and I also think the challenge too is that traditionally you would associate the space with the company, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not necessarily the case now. It's like there's finite number of spaces and a bunch of companies. Mm-hmm. So,
isn't for a company. This is for
this
a
is for
performance.
The space.
Yeah, it's
right.
for this space.
But you're absolutely right. As somebody that runs one of those spaces, it's mm-hmm. hard to differentiate our stuff with the folks that rent our theater.
Sure.
And making sure that we know, you know, fortunately for us, we've ended up having a lot of really good theater.
Absolutely.
In our theater that isn't ours, and so we take credit for that.
Right.
If it's bad, we do not take the blame.
So it's interesting because there's only three. There's
it
only
wasn't Trejo. Level,
No. I was
it
just,
was a joke.
I wanted to make space for the wiki.
Oh, she'll get there. Go
well,
ahead.
There's only three. Three actresses and there's five actors, so I guess it really
does.
Interesting. Yes.
Who are they?
No. So the actresses are Lee Eddy. Amber Quick and Stephanie Thorson.
I don't know Stephanie.
I don't know Stephanie, but Lee
Amber
and Eddie,
and
those
are
both forces.
Mm-hmm.
Actor Kareem Badar. Is it Badar? B-A-D-R, isn't it?
I think it's
just Bard.
Just keep going.
I want to say it's Bader.
Oh, Bader. Okay.
Right.
Well, I would like. Well,
so apologies, Kareem.
Yeah, if Kareem, you can let me know how bad that was. Judd Ferris, Carla Lorenza Garcia, Mark Puhe, and Jesus Valle.
Hey, Jesus Valle is kicking some ass these days.
Yep,
I must say.
So and
Comedy
Troupe
has five. What a lovely
person
as well.
See, this makes me happy though. Like I started with the Latino Comedy Project, and we were kind of like.
Are you still working with them?
Mm-hmm, sort of. I mean, we've been together for 20 years, so like there was a good like 12 year point of like almost every year we were doing.
And
something.
And Adrian was nominated for something.
Yeah, the special effects for Star Wars.
For Star Wars, which was at Ground Floor Theater.
Exactly. And I'm glad to see that sketch comedy is getting its own little space there because it is its own thing.
It is indeed.
And it's a lot
and
of fun.
And Austin has become very well known nationally for its improv and sketch world.
It has multiple categories. Comedy troupe, stand-up comic, comedy club venue, and then comedy storytelling showcase.
See, the comedy club venue, which ones are nominated? That's interesting.
Cap City Comedy Club.
Of course.
Cold Town Theater.
Nice.
Fallout Theater.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Because when stand-ups come to town, they've only got one option.
They really do.
Yeah, it's Cap City.
Well, they got the Velveeta Room.
Velveeta, right. Velveeta, Cap City, and if you're...
Unless you're like Eddie Murphy and you go to Bass.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Because Murphy's coming back with stand-up, just FYI.
I'm super excited.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. There he is.
Except I listened to some of his old stuff recently, and I'm like, this is so not PC.
We were just talking about.
I was just talking about
that with
Boogie
friends.
In Your Butt, and I was listening to these albums, and I'm like, oh no.
Or like, Delirious is not too bad.
Not too bad.
But Raw is like, whoa, dude.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. It's a lot.
Yeah.
Haven't listened to either.
It's okay. Interesting when you haven't listened to it in a long time and what you remember in your head, and then you go back and listen to it years later and you go, whoa.
What's weird too is pacing, right? It's like things you like you remember laughing at a different rate when you were small, like younger, you know?
Yes, yes.
And then you watch it again and you're like, I think I remember laughing more. It's like,
I think that has a lot to do with time passage. Some friends of mine, this is before the show came out. I just lost the show with Blazing Mel Brooks.
Blazing Saddles? Yeah.
No. It's on Broadway. The Producers. Thank you. So a friend of mine had never seen the movie Producers, and this was again before the Broadway musical came out, and I couldn't believe it. And so I said, okay, I'm going to sit you down, he and his brother, and make you watch The Producers. And as I'm watching it, they're just stone-faced, not cracking a smile. And I'm sort of looking at it with different eyes going, yes, maybe I remember it being funnier than it is right now.
And I've had that...
There are some movies that hold up. Mr. Mom is still just as funny. Yep. I watched that recently, and I literally was like, I am sorry, but this is just...
221,
right?
I need my whoopee.
I was watching, and this was part of the character research, if you will, for the part I was doing at a Fleenery at St. Ed's. I watched Zorro the Gay Blade again, and that movie, to me, when I was a kid, laughed hysterically. And I remember... showing it to friends, I was like, oh, you're going to love this. And the laughs didn't come as frequently as when I was a kid. There's still some really great parts in it. It is George Hamilton playing a straight version of himself and a gay version of himself. And then the, I forget his name.
George.
He was in Angels in America. He won a Tony for it. Anyway.
Robert De Niro?
No.
Lieberman? Steven Spinell?
Rotten Lieberman.
Oh, okay.
He played the Alcalde in Zorro the Gay Blade, and I totally am borrowing from his characterization of that.
I don't think I saw that movie.
Is she the Princess Bride?
Insane.
Yes.
Okay, good. Just make
sure. The backlash about that redo.
Oh, well, Carrie Ewell's Bebe Neuwirth was all of it. So
what happened?
They want to redo the Princess Bride.
No.
And Carrie Ewell's was like, why would you touch this?
Yes.
And Bebe Neuwirth retweeted it and was like, can we just not let some things lie? And I looked at my brother. I said, listen, there's a reason The Wizard of Oz hasn't been remade.
Yeah, sure.
There's a reason that Gone with the Wind hasn't been remade.
Right.
Why?
Well, racism might be a good reason. Why yes.
Both of them racism. Boom. Mic drop. Well,
I don't know about Wizard of Oz, but yeah. But still, like, there's reason that some of these... But that could have been redone long before
we've all
woken up as a society.
No, but you're right. You're right.
There are certain movies.
Especially when you talk film, which is what we're talking about here on Offstage and on the air.
Sorry.
It's okay. No. But
we're talking about theater people.
I didn't check Ron Lehman.
But I,
thank you, Trey.
I'm sorry, I'm reeling about this Princess Bride thing.
It's the Twitterverse went cray cray.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's going to
really
happen.
Really important people have come out and said, "There's no way."
No, there is no way you could. No.
No.
Even if you had the exact same cast,
it wouldn't work.
It wouldn't work.
Yeah, of course they'd be a lot older.
The musical version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they've been working on that for 10 years.
I could understand. So I could understand a musical version of
Absolutely.
Princess
Bride. Absolutely.
That would
But a remake of that film is like,
sure.
Why?
It'd be like remaking Mary Poppins.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay to have things that are iconic, you know? I mean, and in a lot of ways, that's a lot like
Meet
theater.
Me in St. Louis. No one's touched that.
Right.
That's a musical.
I know Meet Me in St. Louis. It was not so Meet Me in St. Louis. St. Louis was not a stage musical, was it?
No, it
no,
start
no.
Right
it's
away.
Just the movie.
It was
no,
made
just
into
the
one,
movie.
Right?
1990. Oh, it was.
Yeah, yeah. They staged
Trey, you know
it
a
afterwards.
Lot. So when was it?
I believe in 1990.
Was it that late?
Do you know who? Were there any names attached to it?
I don't think so. It was, but they do most of the same.
It was almost the exact same thing, really.
And that was big in the 80s, though. They started, like, Singing in the Rain. It was, like, in early... It was made into a...
It was. It was when that 80s. Whole, like, let's turn White Christmas into a play. I mean, that's a movie. Oof. See, we don't need to remake White Christmas.
Correct. We do not. So, Michael Trejo, how'd you get into theater? Where did you grow up? Tell me stuff about you.
Oh, gosh. So, I grew up in Edinburgh, Texas, which is about 6 hours south of here. It's in the Rio Grande Valley.
RGV, we call that.
Yes, the RGV.
That's what we call it.
Yeah, yeah. We never called it that, but that's fine. no, we just call it the RGV.
We have valley appropriation.
Right. So I grew up as kind of a sports playing jock until about my freshman year in high school. When
I can see you playing sports.
Yeah, I ran track, played football, basketball mainly, and I realized I wasn't getting any taller. And so I started.
That's why I had to give up basketball.
Right, exactly. I started to do theater, and I really fell in love with how fun it was and how cool it was.
Did you do it in high school in South Texas,
yep.
in the Rio Grande Valley?
And my theater director exposed us to a lot of the traditional stuff, like Neil Simon and like Molière and all these really great.
I love Neil Simon and Molière in the same sentence.
Yeah, totally.
When I see their work side by side, I can't.
Don't laugh, but those were my go-tos. Was Simon and
Molière?
Molière. Well, I always in high school. Energy, I loved
you know?
It.
And in fact,
Tartuffe.
Of course. And then we did like you know Robin Hood, and you know we did big musicals too. That was a great thing about growing up in the Valley. These were big high schools, so we had like when we did a musical. We had an orchestra.
Michael just did air quotes when he said musical.
Sorry,
I'm not quite sure why.
Yeah. We had an orchestra.
I was just thinking that, but you called them out.
Right. Thank you very much. So
that's why I'm here.
So we had a full-on high school orchestra as the accompaniment stuff. So we got used to like all these pieces, and we had like these huge spaces and stuff. So when we did South Pacific, it was huge.
When you left, and we're like, where's my 50-piece orchestra?
Well, I swear, I thought all musicals were like that. And so when I came up to St. Ed's and auditioned and got into the acting program and I first saw a musical there, I was like, where's the orchestra? Like, where are the timpanis? You know, it's like, you call this. And then I was like, oh, got it. And so in some ways, so I started doing shows at
– Hold that thought because I just want to – because I was thinking about this not all that long ago. You know, you start in this career or in this – along this career path oftentimes in high school and you're doing musicals and you have 20 to 30 piece orchestras.
Absolutely.
And you don't see that again until you premiere on Broadway.
Right. Right.
Isn't that a weird like in between?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You blow the budget like, you know, maybe in some of your bigger universities, maybe there's some arrangement with the music department or something like that. But you're right. You don't see it again until way, way later.
And that's if you make Broadway.
Right.
I mean, it's very few other venues have the resources to have that size.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I started doing shows at St. Ed's in 92. And that's when I started to go to school there. I took a wee break. I was still a full-time student, but I worked for a couple years at Esther's Follies as well.
I love that you're taking a wee break. And we couldn't really point this out there on the show, but both of the scenes that we did today on the show was all about peeing.
It was all about peeing.
Yep.
Lisa and I were talking about that.
We're going to get through your story. So you worked at Esther's Follies.
While I was still a student at St. Ed's. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice...
Because you're kind of funny.
Blend. Yeah, well, thank you.
But remember,
looks
are not everything.
Exactly. I was about to say funny looking.
They just took over a cafe, the Esther's Follies.
They did?
Yes, they did.
Good for them. That's,
But they also let go of Patsy's Cowgirl Cafe. That's no longer owned by them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, I'd not gone to either, but they know how to entertain.
You put that on your bucket list.
Exactly. So then after that, after I graduated, then I jumped into the Latino Comedy Project, done a bunch of theater. I sat on the Hyde Park board and
I didn't
like
know
that.
You were on Hyde Park board. Mm-hmm. And folks, if you watch television, when you see HEB commercials, you see Michael.
I was in Grande commercials for a while.
Grande was all summer long. Yeah. You were blowing up.
Yeah,
in Grande.
It's so wild. It's so silly. I always say that I've had like three different runs at mild local area celebrity. Like at Esther's Follies, that was fun to like walk around.
Sure.
And be like, hey, you're the brown guy at Esther's. I'm like, yeah. And it's like,
you checked that box.
Yeah, they'd be like, here's 10% off. I'm like, thanks, dude. And so, and then Latino Comedy Project. Well, actually, when I was in radio and on Emmy television for a while, that was like, hey, you're that guy on that show that I listened to, sort of. Yeah. And now, and then the Grande thing was just like, one guy was like, hey, you're that Time Warner guy. I was like, close enough.
Whatever.
The cable guy.
I don't have either. So, that's kind of my storied history in a nutshell.
Cool. I love it. Yeah. It's great, great history. Trey, what are you writing these days?
Oh, geez.
He had a maniacal, well, it wasn't a maniacal laugh, but it was a smile going into what it almost looked like.
I always feel like one of the easiest way to make a playwright just
squirm?
Fill up with self-loathing is saying, what have you been working on right now?
Making people feel bad is my specialty, so I apologize for that.
But,
so what do you want to talk about if you want to talk about your writing?
I am working on, hopefully, if I finish it, I wanted to do a reading of a play that I've been working on for a while. It's tentatively called The Slaughterhouse, which I've been told my titles are not appealing. By a few people.
I dig it already.
I was it would depend.
It makes you curious. It's an intriguing title, but it would depend on if you got there and saw it and go, well, I don't get the slaughterhouse.
Was slaughtering? There was no house.
It's referencing someone's backstory, but it's about the relationship between the press and the political consultants. Behind campaigns.
Yeah, no,
I totally get it.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
And let's take a vote. Who says it's good?
I do. We have three hands raising. So
that's one of the journalists has a story about we're growing up in a farm.
So when you approach a play, I'm going to talk to you as Trey the playwright versus Trey the actor right now. When you approach.
Change your hat.
When you're sitting there with a blank piece of paper. Maybe you have a germ of idea. What's your process? How do you write that first word?
Is this the second thing that makes playwrights squirms?
Well, the worst question is like, what kind of plays do you write?
Oh, right.
Like, not going to say that.
How do you learn all those lines?
Full length plays, full length ones. Plays they hopefully
that
get
play
produced.
Was amazing. You memorized all those lines.
The best damn play ever heard. That's what I write.
Process is a little bit easier to answer because it usually starts with an idea. And then I usually have to construct the story completely before I write dialogue.
So you're an outliner.
Yeah, I have to have an outline. I have to know what
paper
each
or computer
scene goes to. A little bit of both, mostly computer. Usually the plays I with paper, it's more ideas, but the outlines are on paper sometimes. But
so this is a very process, sort of a dry question, but I'm just curious only because I had some experience with this before. When you do get to the, let's say you've written most of it and you're writing on computer, do you use a playwriting or screenwriting program to compose your stuff?
I do not. I just use I've been meaning to, because screenwriting, they apparently are a little more.
Final draft
really different.
Is a program that has its theory of screenwriting. I'm doing air quotes. Screenwriting program, but it's got play features.
Okay. I used to use one called, I think it's pronounced Celtic, C-E-L-T-X. It was a free one. Yeah. And they had a play filter, but you're right.
That sounds familiar.
Does it really make, is it easier? Because I mean, I guess because I know those never existed when I was
doing
stuff.
It does a formatting
stuff, so
for you. And
I'm used
I just
to that.
Used... Final draft.
Right.
Because you just wrote something.
We used it. So we, in the production, so when you do an original piece, and this we didn't have on the show Dexon Abbey that we did, pagination is a huge issue when you're rehearsing a show that's new
cues.
And you're making changes.
Yeah.
So Final Draft has a feature that says lock pagination. So anything that you add then says 39 A, B, and C. Which is great. And what a program would do for you, I'll just answer this question because why not?
Yeah, please do.
Like if it'll make it easy. You could write a character name and it formats
Lisa's air typing by the
way you want it. When you press return, it goes directly to the formatting for writing dialogue.
Right.
So
not the character.
It
got
helps you
it.
Do all
so
that.
You don't have to do the
as someone who hates formatting the plays, but then I usually wait till the very end to be like, okay, now we gotta go.
Yeah.
Just
That makes more sense to me. I do a lot of like copywriting. It's not playwriting by any stretch, but sketch writing and stuff. I like to actually know what I'm writing first before I worry about
that's what
format.
I do with releases and everything. I put all the everybody's like doesn't look. I'm like no, and
wait,
then I'll go back and put it all. Back. Yeah.
to
yeah,
me,
yeah.
It has to look perfect from the get go.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
I'm teasing.
No, but if like if formatting is a big deal, though, I could see where these tools would be really, really great for you. You know.
Well, awesome. We spent so much time talking. We're pretty much done here backstage.
Yeah, but you know what? We talked about some cool, fascinating stuff.
We did. And we learned that I watched 2 minutes of football.
You did. I'm so proud of you. And not even just football, but my team.
Yeah, that was purely by happenstance.
What's it like to root for a winner? I'm a Broncos fan, right? And it's terrible.
You're asking me? I'm a Texans fan.
There's glimmers of
we
Trey,
don't
what
win
fan
often.
Are you?
But I will tell you.
I'm a Geisha
fan. It feels
fan.
Good. I'm a geisha fan. Oh my gosh,
a little geisha fan.
Yeah, I know. Okay, never mind. I was about to say that. I was just trying to tell you that was great.
All right. Well, we did talk a little bit before we came back here for backstage with Bob Tolero about sports, specifically baseball musicals.
We talked about how many plays and musicals there were on sports. We were all pulling them out.
So the baseball, one thing that we all need to say about baseball musicals is you gotta have heart.
You gotta.
All right.
Yes.
You
and
really
that's
need
us
it.
Leaving.
All righty.
Okay. All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Bye.
You gotta have hope. Mustn't sit around and mope. Nothing's half as bad as it may appear. Wait till next year and hope. When your luck is batting zero.